Remember, all talkbacks are in ears, boys, until show begins.
Radio check. Check. You guys about ready? Front of house, you guys good?
Front of house is good to go.
Stand by. Stage left.
Cruising over here, cruising.
Ready?
Good to go here, JP. Looks good.
I have to take that. Dom, Josh, you guys good?
Stage right.
Go for show.
From Super High Quality Productions, this is season 3 of the Super High Quality Podcast with the War on Drugs.
I mean, it was a completely uninteresting and very dark time.
Great soundbite.
Yeah. I'm Dominic East, and this is Live Drugs Again. In the summer of 2022, we took a little bit of a break from the intense touring that we'd been doing in the first part of the year. In July, we came back from Europe, everyone got healthy, and we all got some much-needed rest. We did some festival dates in Edmonton and Vancouver, Chicago and Toronto. And in September, we headed back out for a final 6 weeks of touring to close out the year. We hit some new spots, some old spots, some big spots, and some really small spots I don't think we thought we'd ever go back to.
We were there long enough the first time that I found a great taco spot. There's so many towns the last decade or two of my life that I've toured that I've been like, well, this is a strange little town. I don't know anything about this town. I'll never probably be here again. And you're like, well, no, I know where there's a great place to get tacos, and I know there's like, I know how to get around the mall. All of a sudden, you're like, wow, I really know a lot about all these little towns.
New Haven, Portland, Maine.
Fredericton, New Brunswick.
Philadelphia.
Red Rocks. Oklahoma City. Arkansas.
Memphis. Birmingham.
Knoxville.
Athens. Fort Lauderdale.
Orlando.
Tampa.
St. Augustine.
Phoenix.
San Diego.
Tucson. Austin.
And we close things out just north of San Francisco on top of a mountain almost 7 years to the day since we'd ended our Lost in the Dream tour. We continued to weather the COVID storm, and when our front of house engineer Matthew went down with the virus in Arkansas, our tech Ricky jumped in to cover. As we'd done so many times before, we filled in wherever we were needed, and we kept the ship heading in the direction of the next show. That is until we hit Wilmington, North Carolina, where Hurricane Ian blew things off course temporarily. Two shows were canceled due to the storm, but we kept to the schedule for the rest of the tour. Things got a little weird leaving ACL after the first weekend, but that's a story for another podcast.
As much of a grind as it was, we got introduced to some great places. Bentonville, Arkansas, that great show at the Momentary outside, and that great Formant Festival in Bentonville.
I walked over to the best coffee we've had in America right over there. High quality. Onyx. Did you get the hat? What did you get? I got the moisture wicking hat from Onyx. What'd you get? You got the beach blanket. You got the beach blanket, sweatshirt, yeah. Beach ball, umbrella. Wow. You're going to go home, Reed's going to be like, what, do you work for these people now? And a Cortado.
We did two great Austin City Limits shows playing across from Lil Nas X. Maybe one of the best festival shows we've ever played. Fully dialed in. That's like the kind of show where you realize that like all the work you do, it's all worth it. All the gigs, all the load in, all the load outs. That's like what gets you to that level where you can just like have a short changeover, walk on stage, and just feel like you're just playing like the best show of your life. And even like we had a technical difficulty, which never happens. It never happens until you really don't want it to happen. And then those things happen. At Austin City Limits, the first weekend that was televised, you know, the drum machine kind of crapped out, which, and my pedal board crapped out, which controls a lot of stuff.
Control doesn't work. Control doesn't work.
To do a restart. Eddie, can you come out here to stop the sampler?
And that never happens, except for when it's on Hulu. But it didn't matter. We just like figured it out. Dom goes out there and like resets the controller and it works. And then you're right back in it, you know. And
great job, everybody. Sounds great. Great job on that controller, Dom. I don't know what you were doing. Can't believe you did that in front of all those people.
And while we're on the subject,
can't forget that at Amsterdam when Choppa earned his stripes.
Back in April in Amsterdam, Eddie had to run on stage and fix a sampler that went down mid-show.
He just kind of walked up there in front of 17,000 and fixed it. Wasn't nervous or anything. Dove through those menus and just fucking... He's like, I just cut it in half and looped it. Oh, okay. Whatever. God bless you.
All the work you do to prepare for a show... That's why in a situation like that, it doesn't fall apart because everyone's just like operating on another level when it comes to like performing and being in the moment and knowing how to put the show on. It was an exciting tour because it was also like the last tour of what was a pretty wild year. And so there was like light at the end of the tunnel in terms of being home. And still, for as exhausted as I was, and I think as burned out as I was on the idea of touring, it was still hard to have that last show in Austin and not feel totally depressed that there was not a show the next day.
I feel like a lot of bands get out on the road and there's greater or lesser degrees of mailing it in. That touring is like the job. You're doing it to make some money. It's how you make a living. It's how people see your music. But there's a lot of like, let's just do it and get done with it and get back home. And I love how this band is always working on stuff. There's never one song that is in its final form. Even if it's subtle tweaking, everyone's always sort of working on evolving the music constantly.
Come to the City, I feel like we were playing that song since 2010, and it was on this past tour, 2022, that Dave finally figured out what the bass should be doing. You know, and he wasn't like embarrassed by that fact. He was like, oh man, I finally figured out what the bass part is on Come to the City.
It's wild. It's actually crazy. It's crazy to figure out a song fucking 10 years after you start playing it. I mean, that's literally what happened. I was like, oh yeah, that's what I should play. Come to the City, I think with that song, it's a really interesting thing to listen to different versions of that over the years or sort of look at how we approached it. Just because that song kind of has existed through every generation of the band. Like, that was the first song I ever played with War on Drugs. They met me when they needed horns for a television performance of that song. I worked on that song first, and then I've got to see how every evolution of the band, that song has had to kind of change to match what the band had become, who was in the band, what our setup was, how the shows have changed, how the sizes of the rooms have changed. It's kind of fascinating how that song, which is like based on this like wonderfully chaotic drum loop, the sound of that drum loop was very much like part of the sonic fabric of Slave Ambient, at least it is in my mind. But then the sound of the band has sort of radically changed, not radically changed, but just has definitely evolved to different, very different sonic characteristics. And we've had to sort of work with that specific piece of audio that's from a very different era of the band and figure out how to make things change around. It's just kind of been this constant puzzle to solve.
I feel like the Come to the City thing is a bit of a microcosm for the band in the sense that for the first X number of years with the drugs, like we sort of avoided dynamics purposely. We used certain nomenclature to talk about it. We'd just be like, we're cruising, you know, you're on the highway. It's like a krautrock sensibility. You kind of get in the right lane and you just hold a groove. There's just no dynamics of any kind. And that was like very much the beginning of the band, never a dynamic shift. But then as the band kind of matured and Adam started like reaching further as a songwriter, you start getting into dynamics. Like, what if we're like a little softer in this part, louder here? You know, what if we build up here? And of course, it's also just like more interesting to introduce dynamics to a live show. And Come to the City was one where like that song was like a brick wall of sound, essentially, when we first started playing it. This like outrageously dense sample coming off the 404 and a shit ton of guitar and walls of keyboards. That was essentially the palette of that song. As we played it and like allow ourselves to be a more dynamic band, it's just kind of more life has been breathed into it. And like, for some reason, the bass definitely, I figured something out on last year where I was like, oh yeah, like I got this line. I'm going to bring it in here, bring it out here, just adding more build.
For me, that song is very much, you know, it's like, I feel like I'm just like, okay, cool. This is my like, you know, my little Pete Kember moment. You know, I could just tape these keys down and walk off stage. You know, just hit the tremolo and just be like, just jamming, you know?
I mean, I think that's what's cool about the keyboard part on that is that like somebody in another band, somebody might be like, oh, all I'm doing is keys on this song. And they would like shred or they would like double vocal lines or something, you know, I don't know. And just the restraint, that's like the Pete Kember thing. It's like, that's like the essence of that song kind of. I think sometimes I'm always like, oh, do we have like the sampler playing or something? And it's just Anthony playing because it sounds so close to, I think, the sounds I was inspired by 15 years ago when working on that song and making that album. It was like, it's like so cool to have someone be able to embody that in that song, in the moment, and show so much restraint.
That's what I love about playing like that. I love playing Destiny for that reason, you know, just like songs like that where it's like where I'm just doing the same thing over and over and over, and you know, it's like it's a different type of playing that I really enjoy and don't always get to do.
That is one where it's like you're just letting go, but it's also, you know, my job in that song is like, it's like holding down something that's like could slip away at any moment. It's like everything that's beautiful and also everything that's like totally fucking insane, trying to just lock in on this thing that's, you know, that's flowing and slightly elusive.
Dynamics are something that's like a strange thing to add to your repertoire as a band, like years into your existence. Like that's generally something you start with, but that was like one of the building blocks of the band early on, was just sort of like this krautrock, hold the groove, do not deviate.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the bass guitar tonight, Mr. Dave Hartley.
It's just sort of awesome to play a song like literally thousands of times and then figure it out. It is sort of paradoxical that like the more people we add, the more musical, but also sort of economical. There's just like an economy to the playing. And yeah, Robbie doesn't have to be playing like 52 keyboards at once to create this like wall of synths.
You're inspired by like guys like Dylan. Like it'd be cool to be in a band where you could be like changing up the keys and one night somebody grabs a different instrument, or you're kind of gonna do it halftime and have everybody catch up in real time. And like the idea of like the song really only exists every time it's performed, you know? And that stuff's awesome, but in the context of this band, it's like, it can't really do that because it's like, it's just such a significantly bigger production in every way. So I think for me personally, it's like, you just have to take it upon yourself, I guess, to like find little things that you can
do to just further your own involvement or try and sort of do something that might, maybe it's a vocal phrasing or maybe it's trying out double time. Let's try it with a 12 string. Let's buy a 12 string. Let's try and sell the 12 string for less than you bought it for at a guitar show. Let's pretend that we got a good deal in the 12 string when in reality you thought you did, then you went home from tour and you looked online and you just got a basic normal over-the-counter deal on it.
You just got to keep trying and maybe somebody will stumble upon some, it might be, oh, Anthony, play the 12 string on this or something, you know, or Adam's going to play acoustic, or we'll change the key, or we'll speed it up. Who knows? It could be just some little tweak, and then it's a staple in the set. If you know the song is good, you know, I knew Come to the City was good.
And certain songs can exist a million different ways, and certain songs, maybe they exist one way, you know? Come to the City can exist probably multiple ways.
Adam's the funniest guy around, always. No matter what room you're in, he's the funniest person in the room. But it doesn't always come out on stage, you know, because he's doing some heavy lifting up there. It's just actually outrageous all the shit he's doing up there with the guitars and the 56 trillion foot switches and pedals. And there's just really no downtime for him. So there's not a lot of time for him to sort of free associate and work on his material comedically, but I think so. Maybe there's just like this like geyser of sort of like comedy. It's almost like he's like comes like shooting out during these sort of introductions. It's definitely in some new shit.
All right, thanks so much. On the sax tonight, Mr. John Notches, everybody. Yeah. On the bass guitar tonight, Mr. Dave Hartley. Give it all you got.
I mean, I definitely remember just being like, don't do that. You're going to blow out your voice. I think I even said something to him like, because at one point he was like, I think my voice is getting a little hoarse. And I was like, here's an idea. Don't scream so loud during the intros. But I think when I asked him, when I kind of pointed out that he shouldn't do that was when he really dug in and started doing it like full on like WWE style. Like
on the keyboard, the first day of his 44th year. Mr. Robbie Bennett, everybody. Woo! Eliza Hattie Jones.
Adam's introductions are amazing. And I feel like they are more for us than for the audience.
We aim to please. On the guitar and keyboards tonight, everybody, Mr. Anthony LaMarca.
You know, I think it's so funny, and he kind of switches them up every night. And maybe even like ups the ante every night. So by the end of a long tour, by the time he's announcing Anthony, he's like bending over backwards and is upside down underneath the microphone, screaming, La Baca, La Baca.
I mean, we grew a lot last year as a band. I feel like in so many ways, like everybody just really like stepped up and pushed hard and everyone got better and we got better collectively, but Adam's intro game really, really stepped up.
And on the drums tonight, out of Philadelphia, Mr. Charlie Hall, host of the Fish Tank.
There he is. Where's the tank tonight? We want to dedicate this next song to our wonderful crew. We played a lot of shows this year, 92 shows or something. And we wouldn't be able to do it without these guys and girls helping every night. Moving it in, moving it out, up, down, all around. Look straight ahead and do what Jimmy says, you'll be just fine. Right?
Well, I can't say that we always did everything Jimmy told us to, but we had a great tour. We had a great year. We did another 27 shows in the late summer and on our fall tour. And some nights, we even got a little Oceans of Darkness. Well, my notes say we played 107 shows last year, none of which would have meant anything if people hadn't come out to the gigs and supported the band. So, on behalf of everyone, thank you so much for listening, thank you so much for supporting us, and thanks again to everyone involved in our operation, especially the crew. I know we didn't cover everything that happened, but hopefully we covered most of it.
Hi, it's Josh. I want you to promise not to include the part about me falling in love with a baby alligator and almost leaving the tour.
Hey, Dom. Are you going to talk about the time you tripped over the lights and then when I saw you, you apologized to me while your head was still bleeding?
Ben, I am so sorry. I'm still sorry. That was the worst.
Hey Dom, it's Matthew. Are you going to talk about the time that Jimmy plugged that water kettle into the Monitor World UPS at that show in Philly?
Hey, it's Jimmy. Remember that time I was in charge of the stage tee? I plugged the kettle into the Monitor World and lost stage power? Yeah, please let's not talk about that.
Huge shout out to our audio team, Matthew, Lawrence, and Ricky. Our backline guys, Josh, Eddie, Ben, who does the lights, Jimmy, our production manager, our tour manager, Craig, our tour coordinators, Elizabeth, Lori, Colleen, Steph out at merch, and to the drivers who got us and our gear everywhere safely. Thank you. All right, it's time to pack. We're going on tour again this week. The super high quality podcast is put together by me, Dominic East, but I couldn't do it without Adam's help. Andrew Guerin helps with the final mix, and Austin Asnavanda helps with the audio clips. Like to thank the guys in the band.
Adam Gronowski.
Anthony Lamarca.
Bobby Bennett.
Charlie Hall.
Dave Hartley.
John Natchez.
Liza Hardy-Jones.
And most of all, thank you for listening. We'll see you next time, right here, on the Super High Quality Podcast.
Woo! Woo!
Thank you so much.